WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and authorities in Texas say yesterday's gunman who killed one detainee and wounded two others intended to target ICE officers.
The 29-year-old shooter acted alone, according to investigators, firing a bolt-action rifle he bought legally in August. Inside his apartment, handwritten notes were found, according to acting U.S. Attorney Nancy Larson.
He wrote that he intended to maximize lethality against ICE personnel and to maximize property damage at the facility.
ICE says the injured detainees were shackled and could not leave the van on their own while it was under fire, but that ICE and ATF agents ran into the line of fire to rescue detainees who were in the van. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Israel is carrying out retaliatory strikes in Yemen today, targeting Houthi rebels, it says, after a drone hit southern Israel yesterday, injuring at least 20. President Trump expected to sign a TikTok deal to keep the China-based app from being banned in the U.S. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs have announced nearly $430,000 in grant funding awards for veteran mental health initiatives. The funding through the Veteran Mental Health Community-Based Organization Grant Program is meant to support nonprofits that address the mental well-being of veterans in the state. Nine organizations will receive a portion of the grant funding, including $100,000 for the Indian Head Community Action Agency in Northwest Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation will soon begin accepting applications for agricultural roads improvement grant funding. According to a press release, the application period for the first round of grant funding through the new biennial state budget will open on October 6th. $50 million will be available during the first round to support projects across the state focused on improving rural roads and culverts. The grant funding is meant to make transporting the state's agricultural and forestry products more efficient. State Representative Angela Stroud held a town hall in Superior on Wednesday to discuss some of the effects of the new biennial state budget passed over the summer. During the event, State Representative Stroud noted that the Superior School District is projected to lose nearly $2 million in state general aid under the new budget, which will lead to increased property taxes to maintain currently available services. The town hall served as an open discussion for local residents to consider alternative solutions to support the public school system. A Ladysmith City administrator and his sister have been arrested after allegedly attempting to illegally record a closed county board session. According to the Rusk County Sheriff's Office, 37-year-old Alan Christensen and his 34-year-old sister Stephanie Christensen are facing charges of attempting to use electronic, mechanical, or other devices to intercept oral communications in relation to the closed county board session on August 26th. Video footage allegedly shows Stephanie using her cell phone to record the session through a closed door. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Packers and the Cowboys. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers play the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Jordan Love says they learned some tough lessons in Cleveland during their loss to the Browns.
Every week is opportunity to learn and grow and experience things as a team. And obviously, I think defense did a great job last week. Offensively, special teams, we didn't do enough.
Baseball, the Brewers have tonight off after beating the Padres 3-1 in San Diego. Aaron Ashby awarded the win. Abner Uribe got the save. Pat Murphy.
Jansen gave us, nobody's mentioned Jansen yet. You guys paying attention to the game? He caught the whole game. He caught six different pitchers. A walk, a hit, and a homer. I thought he was great.
Yeah, catcher Danny Jansen out of West High School in Appleton, Wisconsin, on coming back to Milwaukee against the Reds with the magic number down to one.
Yeah, it feels great. Good momentum going home for the final three games. In front of our home crowd, it's going to be amazing.
That's the Brewers' Danny Jansen with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tons of sunshine, not only today, tomorrow, for the entire weekend, but even into next week. A dry stretch and unseasonably warm. Highs today flirt with 80 degrees. Tomorrow and for the weekend, the mid-70s. And back to nearly 80 degrees on Monday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Does this rash look concerning? It's good to be married to a doctor who said, "What's that thing? Let's go see a doctor now."
Look, I know that Pat married for love, but it's like my grandpa used to tell me, marry him for the money because you can fall in love with him later. I don't care so much about the money. How cool would it be to have my own doctor in bed with me every day to do self-examinations? Hey, that's all I'm looking for.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, time for a little recombobulation with Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer joins us. I hope you will too.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Yeah, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big broadcast here on Thursday, September 25th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along for hour two. Downtown Madison, the world headquarters of Civic Media, the crossroads of state. Oh, what happened to the old Sam Davidson Street game? All right, just hold on. Zommers will play music and talk to you. I'm going to go over and fix. Oh, look at the bicyclist. Nice shot of the bicyclist. I'll be right back, Zommers.
Ended up working out in our favor with the cameras tilted a little bit down, but with the bicyclists crossing the street with the signal, I may add, it made for a better view of that. Anyway, Todd returns quickly, but now you can see blue sky.
Look at that beautiful blue sky, Overture Center across. Now, right next door tonight at the Orpheum. And I stayed late last night because, by the way, our friend Pat Kreitlow of Civic Media This Morning with Up North News' own Pat Kreitlow, powered by Courier News Service.
Something like that.
No, Pat Kreitlow's in town. And he's doing a show. He did a show here today in one of the studios, and he's going to do it tomorrow from 6 until 9. Make sure you tune in. So I helped set up a little thing in the studio for him, little lights and whatnot. And as I was leaving last night, there was a huge line from State Street around the block to Fairchild in front of our building. And I thought, well, they're in line to get Kreitlow's autograph.
No,
it wasn't. John Baptiste, former band leader for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Grammy Award winning, excuse me, John Baptiste, is playing next door at the Orpheum Theater last night and tonight. Huge crowd, sellout crowds. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if John Baptiste would just stop over here today and just maybe bring his portable keyboard and play us a tune. And so now I'm proud to tell you a surprise for the show. John Baptiste is not here.
I was going to say.
Wouldn't that be something though if he was out there in the lobby and he just came in?
That would have. It also would be interesting since you didn't tell me about it. And so we'd have to set up all the tech for it on the spot.
That would have been something.
Worth it. But.
Not a match. The board goes back. Anyway, who do we have? We do have Keegan Kelly here. And what's nothing wrong with that? Keegan Kelly will be here at the bottom of the hour, writer for Cracked.com. He's going to be talking about, speaking of late night, Jimmy Kimmel is back on the air on ABC. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. And Keegan Kelly, an entertainment writer, national writer, is going to be here talking about the implications of late night moving forward and also on free speech. So Keegan Kelly will be here as well. Also going to do a what's worse, allergy season is upon us. We'll talk about that. And some text to win things as well in just a moment. But first of all, a couple of pieces of business here. The Brewers, as you heard Mike Clemens talk about, back in action tomorrow night. Have the day off. Wouldn't it be great to be walking along the lake and run into Sal Frelick in Milwaukee today?
And John Batiste and Sal Frelick having a show together?
Now, that I could die if that happened.
I was happy for sure.
I was talking to a friend of mine, my friend Rob, and he and his wife and daughter went to a game with me this year. Big. And that's one of the cool things, in my opinion, about the Brewers, is that Rob and I and my buddy Kurt and others were texting about the games during the games. And I think if nothing else, what's so cool about this year's Brewers team is that so many of us have bought into their personal stories. And that's what I love about it. And Sal Frelick's on Instagram. I was going through some of his stuff last night, and he has things posted all the way back to high school. I didn't know he played quarterback.
I didn't either.
For his high school football team. Could have gotten scholarships. He chose baseball late in his high school career and then went on to Boston College. But if you look at his work ethic, and he was also really involved all the way back to high school with the Boys and Girls Club in terms of helping special needs kids and doing like a special needs prom. And he's continued to be involved with that now that he's in the pros. And I'm thinking this guy was in a high school like 6 years ago or so. And now here he is in the big leagues or the biggest names in baseball, in the top team of baseball. And he seems like, from what and how much can we really tell about somebody based on their social media, but to the degree that we can, not just Sal Frelick, but Joey Ortiz and Christy Yelich Durbin and all the rest, go right through the lineup. This is the smallest market in baseball. And they're one game away from securing the best record in baseball and the number one seed. And the friendship amongst them seems genuine. And that's why, even beyond what they're doing on the field, which is spectacular, but it's the people, as Pat Murphy, the manager, has said. And we're going to have Brady Ewing here tomorrow, our friend and ongoing contributor in the 3:30 time slot. And Brady is going to talk to us as a former NFL player that, you know, we're going to ask him, at the professional level, how much does friendship and relationship play into success? So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it helps at all levels of athletics, of musicianship, of everything. It's just when you have a true connection, it can just hum.
It really can. Brewers back in action tomorrow night at AmFam Field, the final three games of the regular season against the Cincinnati Reds. And this is going to be no cakewalk because the Reds are right in the battle for the wild card spot. And they're going to need to win every game. So it's going to be a barn burner at AmFam Field. You can hear the broadcast starting tomorrow night with the pregame show at 6:35. First pitch just after 7 o'clock in Milwaukee. You can hear it on RCE in Richland Center, ISS in Oshkosh, CQM in Park Falls, and BZH in Hayward, Wisconsin. Cannot wait for that. All right, it is now 13 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for Civic Media's Green and Gold Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Up for grabs today, $200 cash and gold jewelry. Everybody who enters is eligible for the one grand prize, two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota. Green Bay home game on November 23rd of this year, of course, at high noon. Also throwing in a gas card to get you to the game as a value of $1,550. Open up the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it at your Apple or Android device. Open it up. First 10 stations are the ones that we are on. Select one. On the lower right-hand corner, you'll see a little thing that says text, an icon. Click on that. And now we're going to give you the word to text until you have until 4 o'clock today to text in the word twin. The word is twin. T-W-I-N as in Nancy. T as in Todd. W-I-N as in Nancy. The word is twin. You have until 4 o'clock this afternoon to text in. Remember, it's a state, multi-state contest. Good luck, everybody. There you go. So play hard, play well, win it all. All right. What should we do? I'm trying to think if I want to do this Obama cut or whether we should go right into what's worse. What's your vote, Somers?
I mean, I couldn't vote for Obama before because I was too young. So I think I'm going to take this opportunity to say I voted for Obama.
You know what? That answer is award winning. All right. I thought we needed a little context from the wacky and wild news of the day. And for me, nobody could just say things. And it's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Better than former President Barack Obama. He's been doing a lot of speaking engagements lately. And this is from a day or two ago, former President Barack Obama on the violence against the truth.
So we have the spectacle of my successor in the Oval Office making broad claims around certain drugs and autism that have been continuously disproved. And the degree to which that undermines public health, the degree to which that can do harm to women who are pregnant, the degree to which that creates anxiety for parents who do have children who are autistic, which, by the way, itself is subject to a spectrum, and a lot of what is being trumpeted as these massive increases actually have to do with a broadening of the criteria across that spectrum so that people can actually get services and help, not to, it's all of that is violence against the truth.
Barack Obama, former president of the United States, great context there. Violence against the truth. Never heard that phrase before. And he's right. And the truth does matter. 17 past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved. Nothing to give away for this portion. We're still doing the green and gold text to win contest. Giving things away there. But this is just your chance to have your voice heard. And what's better than that? To turn on the radio and say, hey, that's me. All right. Category today. Timely, timely indeed. As Mike Lucas likes to say, beautiful weather out there right now, but you can feel the goldenrod turning yellow. The corn is turning brown. My grandma used to sing that song. What's worse, category today, fall allergies or spring allergies? Fall allergies or spring allergies? Give us a ring, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4822. 4842. I've said that a million times. I still mess it up. Yes. Give us a ring. We'd love to hear from you. Fall allergies or spring allergies? I will break out the medication here and we'll blow our nose and we'll come back. Because this is, I'll reveal my answer after we do some business. But do you think it's possible? You worked in a pharmacy, Somers, for a while. Is it possible that can change with a person?
Yes.
Really?
Allergies can change and develop and or go away. I know some people who never had seasonal allergies when they were kids, and now they do.
Really?
And some people for whom seasonal allergies have gotten better. That stuff can change. I'm not entirely sure how that works, but I know it is possible.
Well, I mean, we're not trying to pawn you off as a physician, but you
right.
did. But you did work in a pharmacy and stayed at a Holiday Inn Express.
Indeed. Holiday Inn Express Pharmacy. It was one deal. Yeah.
I wish I could find one of those. All right. Come on back. What's worse, fall allergies or spring allergies? 855-752-4842. Yes, I got the number right. And text the word TWIN right now to win those fabulous prizes. Back after this.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the goal for the green and gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is good again for Hoskins.
We've got the action all season long. Turn it up. Brewers baseball lives on your local Civic Media radio station. 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and your home for the Brewers.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We're taking a little bit of a detour this week on the Recombobulation Minute so I can tell you about a brand new project we've been working on here at Civic Media that we're really, really excited about. So here at the Civic Media Network, we produce a tremendous amount of content on any given day. From our news team all over the state to our daily lineup of political talk and commentary shows to our many podcasts and weekend shows to local morning shows to all kinds of digital content, there can be a lot to keep up with. But now we're bringing you a new way to find all of this tremendous content all in one place. It's a new email newsletter called Civic Media Today. Like the Recombobulation Area, it also publishes on Substack. This is going to be your one-stop shop to connect with everything across the Civic Media extended universe, from podcasts and live streams of your favorite shows to the latest on everything happening across Wisconsin. So go subscribe to Civic Media Today.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the go for the green and gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The falling leaves drift by the window. The autumn leaves of red and gold. I see your lips, the summer kisses, the sunburned hands I used to hold.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It has to be the smooth, buttery voice of Nat King Cole.
It sure is.
Very good. Name of the song?
Autumn Leaves.
There you go. Autumn Leaves. Nat King. I could listen to him all afternoon. But sadly, you have to listen to me. Now, years ago, Nat King Cole was brought back kind of sort of. His daughter, Natalie Cole, did a compilation with her and her late father. It was fantastic. So maybe we could somehow recreate AI. See, AI, right? What if AI could give me Nat King Cole's voice? Now there we'd have a winner.
I think it could get it close, you know. Really? And I don't know. AI voices, that's a complicated thing. It can be used to great effect. I can't remember. What's his name?
Or not so much.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, category fall allergies or spring allergies for today's What's Worse, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Ted, listening in Appleton, getting her done on the tarmac. Ted, what say you, fall allergies or spring allergies? What's worse?
Spring.
Spring. What particular reason?
You know that fall, once if the frost hits, they're done.
Good
for
point.
Me anyhow.
Yeah.
But I got to give you an update, sir.
Please.
on my tongue.
Oh, yes, yes. give us the
He
back.
Purchased some tongue. Yes. It's not his tongue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you weren't listening from a What's Worse a few weeks ago or a few days ago, when we were talking about different meat products, and Ted brought up tongue. So you purchased tongue, you marinated it, and you said, well, you grilled it?
No, I just ended up boiling it.
Oh, okay.
And boiled it for about 3.5 hours.
All right.
And it cut like butter.
Really?
It was so tender. Once you get the heart, the outer skin off, it was like butter. It was really good.
I'm sure
it was. You got to try it, Todd. You got to try it, man.
Thank you, Ted, for offering me some of your tongue, but I think I'll pass. I appreciate it. Thanks for all the work you do up there at the beautiful Appleton Airport, and have a great day. What's worse, fall allergies or spring allergies? 855-752-4842. Troy in Mount Horeb, listening on WMDX. Troy, fall allergies or spring allergies? What's worse?
Well, including today, my left ear keeps clogging up, and that
you and me
happen
both
in the spring. So,
yeah, no fun at all, is it? Not now. Let me ask.
I can't hear my alarm. My wife keeps nudging me because I get up at 4:30 in the morning, and she doesn't.
Right. Let me ask you this: have your allergies changed? So for me, it seems like my fall allergies used to be worse, and now these days it seems like the spring ones are worse. Have yours changed over years or no?
I never even had them till like 10 years
really?
Ago.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
Might have gotten worse the older I got.
Yeah. Yeah, they are getting steadily worse. Mm-hmm. But when I had COVID, I wake up every morning stuffy, and I'm stuffy for like 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
So when I had COVID, I didn't know it because I thought that was normal because I'd been vaccinated, so
sure.
You know, it was just like I was stuffy. But then, you know, afternoon I was still stuffy. I'm like, oh yeah, this is different.
Right. So- Thanks, Troy. Appreciate you. Have a great day out there, beautiful Mount Horeb. Fall allergies or spring allergies? What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Matt in Middleton, listening on WMDX on the text line, says spring is worse, as I want to be out doing things, whereas in the winter allergies don't bother me, as I'm usually inside with a hot beverage. All right, so I'm not sure if he added a new category, if he just mistyped and meant the fall. But I suppose dust mites and the like, right, Zobbers? You get winter allergies.
Get real dusty, yeah.
Right. Now, here's something I learned recently, by the way. I don't think I talked about this on the air yet. Because I've always thought I had a kind of a, depending upon the cat, a cat allergy. Now, I learned from someone who has cats recently that they said, well, if you only are affected by some cats, it's not the cat. It has to do with how they keep their house clean because of the, and their cat clean, I guess, because of the dust mites on the cat and in the carpet and whatnot. So it's not necessarily the cat. It's how clean the cat is kept.
You know, I never thought about maybe if I ask my friends to clean their kitties, that maybe I won't have such problems in the house.
Do you keep a clean cat?
Maybe it's a question we all need to ask.
That sounds like a dating question. But anyway, 855-752-4842. Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, fall allergies or spring allergies? What's worse?
Well, I think spring allergies are worse because once they start, they're generally running all through the summer and don't stop until the first frost and stuff in the fall. So
right.
I'd definitely say spring ones are worse.
All right. Appreciate it, Ollie. I hope you have a great afternoon up there in the beautiful North Woods. Off the text line, Dolores on WMDX in Madison, weighing in on Ted's earlier category of know your cuts of meat. Dolores says tongue tacos are delicious.
We're talking about food.
I'm only going to read that and offering nothing more. Linda in Middleton on WMDX says fall allergies are worse because of corn pollen. Zomers, quickly.
For me, spring allergies are worse. It's just, they always hit me harder.
They are for me now as well. It used to be fall, now it's spring. All right, come on back. Keegan Kelly, Late Night, Jimmy Kimmel, what it means for his free speech. We'll talk with him after this. Farm News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Southern Rust. This year, that name is a little bit deceptive because it's being found all the way up here in the upper Midwest in Wisconsin. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. And Damon Smith, a professor in plant pathology with UW-Madison, is here to give us the details on why this southern rust is being found in large numbers in Wisconsin.
So the fungus actually can't overwinter here in Wisconsin. So it has to overwinter in Mexico. And then when corn gets planted, say in Texas and Louisiana, spores blow in, infect there, and then spores then start to move up what we call the rust pathway, which is essentially up the Mississippi River Valley. And so this year we had good prevailing winds. We had plenty of moisture and humidity around this year. And down south, it started a couple of weeks earlier than normal, which meant that it arrived here much earlier in the season. And again, right kind of in the sweet spot in terms of weather conditions. So
Damon also says that he is more worried about the silage corn rather than the grain corn because of the moisture that it takes out of the plant. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe, and we'll take a look at those closing markets right after this.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see how the markets closed this Thursday. It is a tale of two stories today, with cash new crop corn up 1.5 at 425.75, and cash new crop soybeans up 3.25 at 1012.25. December wheat is up 7.5 at 527. Class 3 milk is moving in the opposite direction, with October contracts down 32 cents at 1672 a hundredweight, and November contracts down 33 at 1619 a hundredweight. 40-pound blocks are down a quarter at 163.75, but butter saw a 2-cent rise at 164. With a look at your closing markets, from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Tons of sunshine, not only today, tomorrow, for the entire weekend, but even into next week. A dry stretch and unseasonably warm. Highs today flirt with 80 degrees. Tomorrow and for the weekend, the mid-70s. And back to nearly 80 degrees on Monday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jeopardy champ Ben Chan into the studio. He'll make the popcorn pick of the week. And Norm Kapeski from Appleton Cigar drops by to talk about his beard contest.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Aaron Zommers running it on the board, doing a yeoman's work as always. Quick update for you. We're right smack dab in the middle of our green and gold text to win contest. Your chance to win $200 cash and gold jewelry. And then everybody is entered in for a fabulous prize of an indoor seat to Green Bay versus Minnesota in November. It's a prize package valued at $1,550, yours if the price is right. Oh, and it's also a multi-state contest. You can enter by texting the word TWIN, T-W-I-N. Text the word TWIN right now on the Civic Media app. There is no twin. He is singular. He comes to us from crack.com, a beautiful staff writer and entertainment reporter. Keegan Kelly is back on the show live from his home via StreamYard. Keegan, thanks for coming back. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Better than I was last time. I'll say right. That much. Some sense has returned to TV.
Some sense. We're talking, of course, Keegan was kind enough to join us shortly after ABC and Disney did the indefinite suspension, they called it, of Jimmy Kimmel after his remarks following the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Want to point out they were not comments directed at the deceased, but rather at Donald Trump's reaction to it. But for that, he was taken off the air. They came to an agreement, Disney and Kimmel did, and he was back on the air, Keegan, on Tuesday, albeit not on all of the stations. Those which were owned by Nexstar and Sinclair did not carry it. I guess they carried more of the Family Feud, celebrity, whatever. But what was your reaction to the return of Jimmy Kimmel, Keegan?
I thought he really stuck the landing here, in my opinion. I know that he's gotten some criticism from further left people who feel like he should have gone in harder on the Trump administration. He should have had a little bit more fire, a little bit more anger, but I don't think that was appropriate for the moment. He had unprecedented attention and eyeballs on him, and I think that the smart move there wasn't to escalate any kind of war or try to pull some punches of his own, but it was to paint this as what it really was. It was a First Amendment issue. Mm-hmm. And that affects everyone. That affects conservatives. That affects liberals. And he did a very good point of calling attention to his conservative, I don't want to say allies, but maybe temporary defenders. He name-dropped Ted Cruz at one point. And he really said, this is not a partisan issue. This is the government trying to do something that it's not allowed to do. He took it very seriously. Mm-hmm. He did have a few pretty good punchlines here and there. I think my favorite joke in the night is when he said that Ted Cruz knows the freedom of speech is important because how else is he going to cast curses on the Smurfs?
Right. That was pretty good. I liked the line. I'm not going to get it verbatim, but basically said, you know, Donald Trump said I was taken off the air because I don't have good ratings. Well, tonight I do. I thought that was pretty good. To that point, we have a quick clip from CNN, who broke in last night on the cable news network to talk about the numbers being in on Nielsen on Kimmel.
All right, the breaking news, Jimmy Kimmel. The ratings are in for the first day. And by the way, this is just on the linear here we'll share. 6.25 million viewers on ABC. That was four times Jimmy Kimmel's average. And that's despite the show not even being available in a quarter of all American homes. And the reason for that, of course, is those local TV station owners, Nexstar and Sinclair, they're refusing to air Kimmel's program. So even without a quarter of households, they managed to do that incredible surge. Last night's surge show was Kimmel's most watched show. In fact, since March 12, 2015, so you got to go back more than 10 years, President Obama at the time was Jimmy Kimmel's guest that night.
That is CNN on the Nielsen numbers out for Jimmy Kimmel's first appearance back after being temporarily suspended on Tuesday. Keegan, you watch these things more than anyone else. Boy, if you wanted earned media for your show, if you're Jimmy Kimmel, you got it.
Oh, yeah. And that's not even counting the attention this got on social media and on streaming. I'm looking at the number here. His opening monologue from his first show back, over 20 million views on YouTube in less than 2 days. And that's astronomical.
Yeah.
I mean, that never happens in late night. And that's important, too, because, as you said, these broadcasting groups, Nexstar and Sinclair, they've preempted Kimmel and plan to continue to do so. Who knows how long that'll go on, maybe forever. But that's really not where the business is at this point, is these local affiliates. I believe they own 23% of ABC stations, local ABC stations across the country. But that's just not where late night is anymore. That's not where TV is. It's streaming, it's social media, it's the attention that it gets kind of after it's aired. And man, does Kimmel have it right now. And it's even continued until last night. He still put up pretty impressive numbers. You know, I think a lot of people anticipated that there would be a deflation, I guess. Mm-hmm. People would lose interest once they saw he was back and late night kind of returned to normal, but that hasn't happened, both online and on TV.
You brought this up on other appearances, and I think it's so such a great time to talk about this. And you talked about it in the context of part of the reason, perhaps, that CBS decided to cancel late night was they just weren't really living up to expectations on social media, say the way that James Corden was when he was on the late show on CBS. To this point, this according to latenighter.com today, saying that prior to suspension, Jimmy Kimmel Live had been growing on Instagram by about 2,000 followers daily. During the first 24 hours after ABC announced it was indefinitely pulling the show, Jimmy Kimmel Live picked up 130,000 followers. The show is now closing in on 5 million, up from 4.5 million last week. Again, proving your point, Keegan Kelly, that this is only, I mean, Kimmel's contract is up right at the end of this year. I mean, could this be a whole new life for Kimmel potentially?
I think that it's certainly worth the week-long vacation that he got. I mean, I think there's a real possibility here that there is this kind of resurgence, that now that the president has kind of made late night a battleground for the First Amendment, there's going to be a lot of people tuning in just to keep it alive. And I think that's very possible, that this extends the show's lifespan.
I think it was, I'm kind of confused with my days. It was either Tuesday or last night. I think it was last night when Colbert was talking about this a little bit. And he said, hey, Disney reversed the decision and brought back Jimmy Kimmel. Hey, Paramount, any announcement you'd like to make?
Yeah.
And no, they haven't. Kimmel or Colbert is still canceled as of May.
Yeah, I think he said he's back to being the only martyr in late night.
Yes, that's what it was. Yes.
Which hopefully he stays the only one.
Right? No, absolutely. Also, he talked about a little bit on last night's show, Jimmy Kimmel did. He's coming to Brooklyn, I believe, next week. And boy, a huge lineup. So again, if you look at what this episode has done, money-wise, ratings-wise, and now we're hearing, and I guess this is the question I want to ask if you have any intelligence on this in terms of your reporting. I saw something on some feed, and this is why we have to be very, very careful. There are some reporting slash rumors out there that Nexstar and Sinclair are now being told by Disney ABC, because of what you just said about the resurgence, that if they don't start showing Kimmel again, that ABC Disney might say no Monday Night Football, Sinclair Nexstar, and no ABC World News Tonight, the number one nightly news show with David Muir. Is that accurate or not?
I can't speak to the validity, but I can look at how Nexstar and Sinclair have responded after Kimmel came back, because their initial comments were pretty harsh. They very fiercely condemned him. They, I would say, kept in line with the White House's official stance on his comments and misrepresented them, I felt, and I think you feel the same, as saying something he didn't as an excuse to take him off the air. But afterwards, the releases that they put out were along the lines of, we are having very constructive talks, we hope to reach a resolution, we're going to keep preempting him for now, but we hope to find a conclusion to this soon. It was much softer language, not this big ultimatum. There were no more threats, there were no demands that he donate to Turning Point USA, as they previously told him to do. So their stance has certainly softened, and very quickly. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is some behind-the-scenes pressure going on in between Disney and these groups.
We're talking with writer for Cracked.com, Keegan Kelly. You can find all of his work and writing at Cracked.com, talking about the return of Jimmy Kimmel Live to ABC and what it means to late night and free speech in general. Talk to us a minute, Keegan, a couple of minutes here before the break. What do you think is the impact beyond Kimmel? Like we said, CBS probably not bringing back Colbert, but what is going to be the impact on late night and just television entertainment in general because of Kimmel and Disney, apparently, at least for now, standing up to the Trump administration?
I think it's bought us some time. I think that the problems that existed in the industry previously, which you and I have talked about, just about economic viability and how the platforms have changed, those still exist. But I think the censorship concerns at this point, I mean, I can't remember the last time a media company the size of Disney completely reversed course this quickly because of public blowback. And I think that's a good sign that the precedent has been set that if you do take critics off the air, if you silence comedians because they don't agree with the White House, it's not something that their viewers are going to take lying down. There's going to be subscribers boycotting. There's going to be cancellations of subscriptions. There's going to be the exact media firestorm that we saw for the last week. So I do think that this is a good sign for the safety.
And quickly, was there anything to you? I saw a $3 billion number thrown around. Any credibility to that number? But clearly, to your point, Disney must have felt this in the pocketbook at some way to bring him back so quickly.
I don't think anyone has an exact number on the Disney pocketbook besides Disney. I $3 billion feels like a lot.
Yeah.
But it was enough to bring them back to the table. It was enough to bring Kimmel back. Yeah. And that's all that matters at the end of the day.
I can't talk to the validity of the $3 billion number. I will tell you that earlier today, I was down and I saw Mickey and Minnie Mouse standing in line for government cheese. So, I mean, there's that. I can't speak to anything else. I got to do a little business here, and we're going to come back, talk more with Keegan Kelly at Cracked.com. And not just Kimmel, but also South Park and other programs have felt the heat of the Trump administration. What does this impact them and free speech for entertainment in general? Don't forget to text the word TWIN, T-W-I-N, to the Civic Media app to be in for the green and gold text to win contest. Come on back. It's Keegan, it's Todd, it's Zombers. Your phone calls as well across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Swing big at Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, bringing you the golf for the green and gold. Text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Mention Big G and get $20 off your next round. Hurry, offer ends October 31st.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Michigan's Supreme Court will hear a challenge against the Line 5 pipeline, the same oil pipeline Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to reroute across northern Wisconsin. Opponents argue the Michigan Public Service Commission broke state laws when it approved the company's plan to drill an oil tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac. A new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes and Clean Wisconsin shows nitrate pollution is taking a toll in our state. Thousands of families are paying higher costs to access safe drinking water and facing serious health risks because of nitrate pollution from fertilizer and manure. In 2022, farmers likely applied 16 million pounds of excess fertilizer beyond what crops needed. Right now on the Defender podcast, what do data centers mean for our water, land, energy bills, and why is it so hard to find out? An in-depth conversation on the secrets of data centers. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We're taking a little bit of a detour this week on the Recombobulation Minute so I can tell you about a brand new project we've been working on here at Civic Media that we're really, really excited about. So here at the Civic Media Network, we produce a tremendous amount of content on any given day. From our news team all over the state to our daily lineup of political talk and commentary shows to our many podcasts and weekend shows to local morning shows to all kinds of digital content, there can be a lot to keep up with. But now...
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to, followed by a check of weather with Brittany Merlot. It's beautiful. That's the forecast. And then we're going to have a sports report with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, bringing you up to speed. The Brew Crew gets back a day off today. And they are one game, one win, or one Philadelphia Phillies loss away from securing the best record in baseball and home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Clemens will be in with that. And then stay tuned for a very special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show live on location out in my part of the woods, beautiful Spring Green, Wisconsin, from Reisinger Hilltop Farm in Spring Green. Great show focusing on Wisconsin agriculture. Join Maggie and her guests from 4 until 6 and stick around then for Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. All right, here joining us via StreamYard, Keegan Kelly, writer for Cracked.com, entertainment reporter on Jimmy Kimmel coming back. Quickly, let's go to the phone lines. Carmella in Milwaukee listening on WAUK. Carmella, quickly, I had a question on Kimmel.
Not a question, more a statement. Just sure. That as Tom from LA always says, "We the people." This really showed how much the people can fight back and make a difference. I mean, we're always talking about voting and doing other things. This hit them right in the pocketbook. canceled subscriptions, outrage, everything. So, yeah, I just wanted to state that. I'm really proud of pretty much everybody who made this happen and this quickly.
Appreciate it, Carmella. Thanks for listening down there, beautiful Milwaukee. Also, Keegan, somebody just called in to say Kimmel for president and then hung up, apparently. So there you go. It's certainly helping his favorabilities, as we say in politics.
Yeah, we're 0 for 1 with TV stars becoming president. But, hey, I mean, anything's better than what we got now.
Nicely done, Keegan Kelly. That's great. Yeah, I'm tired of living a White House version of The Apprentice. So let's talk quickly here about not just Kimmel, but also South Park has been really going at the Trump administration. And what does Kimmel coming back do for the viability of programs, not just South Park, but other shows that go after any administration, not just the Trump administration?
Well, I think it takes the wind out of the FCC's sails a little bit. Brendan Carr, the chair of the FCC and a co-author on Project 2025, he was featured pretty heavily last night in the new episode of South Park, almost none of which I could recount without heavy censorship on this show. But they were really thumbing their nose at him and making him look ineffectual and, you know, this kind of tool, this puppet, this punching bag, really. And it really showed that the comedians are not going to back down on this.
Yeah.
And it's not a war that you can win through intimidation. If Trump really thinks that, you know, the next cultural battlefield is comedy, is TV. Because the more that he shows that this stuff is getting to him, the more people like Trey Parker and Matt Stone and Jimmy Kimmel are going to go after him. Like, yeah. It's just the rule of comedy.
I think that's a great point. And we see that on the political side too, right? Where Trump said he was going to send in ICE and military into Chicago, and the mayor there sent out the sanitation trucks to make basically a border on the interstates and said, no, we're not letting you in. And Governor Pritzker just really stood up to him. And Trump basically backed away and said, okay, we'll go to Memphis then. And I think to your point, this stand by Disney and Kimmel, I think is going to make the Trump administration and Carr at the FCC think twice before coming after another show.
I hope so. And as we've already talked about, the worry here is that they did succeed with Nexstar and Sinclair and these broadcasting affiliates. For the time being, we'll see where those cards fall. Mm. But that's really the concerning part to me. Because the FCC does absolutely have the ability to influence these businesses and maybe not fully pull their broadcasting licenses as they previously threatened to do. Brendan Carr's walked that one back. But they can have a real effect on their bottom line. So that's the part I'm most worried about. But the good news is that the big boys, the big companies like Disney, they're starting to push back.
Does this, and we only got about a couple minutes left here, but does to your point, cable, streaming services, Netflix, aren't regulated by the FCC. Does this push some of this content? People like Colbert just going to say, the heck with broadcast, we're going somewhere where the FCC can't regulate us.
I hope it does, because I don't think broadcast is doing very much for late night as it is, notwithstanding who's running the FCC. That's really been the struggle of broadcasts to kind of compete in this internet age where all TV content really needs to be clickable. And I think that if this is what pushes these legacy shows in that direction, that could be kind of a blessing in disguise for the entire industry.
And see, I don't disagree with you necessarily. It just breaks my heart as an older guy who loves broadcast television and radio to think that things are. But you're right. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's this genre or television or whatever. It all has to end up on the old, you know, iPhone, smartphone, so that people can download it and watch it at their convenience, as they say. You can read Keegan Kelly's work at your convenience at cracked.com. Keegan Kelly, thank you very much for your time and your perspective. We always appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, Todd.
Always a pleasure. Keegan Kelly from Cracked.com. Find all of his work there. Great show today. Many thanks to Matt Flynn, to Dan Schaefer, the Recombobulation Area.news. You can find all of his work there. To Aaron Sommers, our great producer and engineer, and all of you for listening. Don't forget, stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is live on location from Spring Green, from Risinger Hilltop Farm. Going to be a great show. Until tomorrow, when we'll have Brady Ewing here talking about the Badgers and the Packers and the Brewers and bow hunting. Whatever you believe in, whatever you are fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump has signed a deal to keep TikTok up and running in the U.S. It allows U.S. stakeholders to buy the Chinese-owned company due to national security concerns. Here's ABC's Mary Bruce.
TikTok's U.S. operations will now be run by this new joint venture, with American users' data stored in the U.S. and overseen by the cloud computing firm Oracle. And perhaps most importantly, this new ownership group will get a copy of the algorithm, that secret sauce that makes TikTok so addictive. Trump says other American investors, including Michael Dell of Dell Technologies and the Murdoch family, will also play a role.
Authorities in Dallas say they found evidence that the suspected gunman who opened fire yesterday at an ICE facility harbored hate against the federal government and meant to target ICE agents. Instead, police say one detainee was killed and two others injured when he fired on a transport van. No law enforcement officers were injured. On Wall Street, stocks extended losses for a third day. This is ABC News.